Perfect.
Hi, hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, this one titled Quarter Season Review. And I don't do it alone. I got to bring in the best man, a man newly engaged, getting ready for his wedding. Let's bring him in, Colin Best. Come on.
Oh, hi, Logan. I am doing fantastic. We had a fantastic week racing Martinsville and the Grand Prix of Long Beach. Can't wait to get into it for the next hour with you, my friend.
I'm looking forward to it. And it's not just us that we get into it with, thank God, or else we'd be a couple of inmates running the asylum. We also have a show creator. He's kind of the resident boss man these days. Let's bring him in. Canada's favorite, Adam Carabine. Come on in here.
Canada's favorite. Wow. Thank you, Logan. It's good to be here. Good to be here for another happy hour. Looking forward to it.
Look, you're the greatest showrunner I've ever seen run this particular episode.
Thank you. I'll take it.
That's really fantastic. But you couldn't get it done without our lovely producer. She's much better looking than I am. She's more than I deserve. And why am I speaking for her? No one talks as well as producer Peggy. Peggy, come on in. Because you have a way with words. Come on now.
Producer Peggy is nursing a double ear infection today, so let's go easy on her.
She's also nursing living with me, which is really a tough situation.
We really need to go easy on her then. Yeah. Terrible.
Could we take me off screen for a hot second? I gotta turn something here.
Oh my gosh, what do we do without our host?
I don't know what's going on.
Well, we've got a great show for you today.
We're live, folks. We're live.
I feel sorry for me too, Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan. I don't know how she does it, honestly. And then put the double ear infection, although maybe it means she can't hear him as well, which maybe isn't so bad. So
Kyle TNT Turner.
Oh, Kyle, TNT Turner. Yes, I'm sorry. I had to adjust a light. It got a little whopper jaw, a little cattywampus on me, and had to flip that some bitch around. So that was all it was. But Kyle, TNT Turner, we love you, sir. We love you. We miss you. We pray you're doing well. We hope you're doing well. And one thing we know that Kyle, TNT Turner loves is professional wrestling. I say that as a joke. He despises it. Ryan, thank you for tuning in. And we ought to get down to business, shouldn't we?
I think so.
Peter, you got any fun words?
Just that my ears hurt.
Boy, you're full of piss and vinegar today. I'll tell you what, she's got the spirit, folks. How about you, Adam? Before we cut you loose for a second, how about you? Any final?
Isn't it nice to have her ears hurt and it's not your fault for a change?
Between her and God, boy, I bend ears. Let me tell you, I bend ears.
All right,
I love you, Kyle, and I love you, Adam, and Colin. I believe we're the talent on this show, and sometimes we run out of it. That's when we bring in the much better people. But first, it's time. Let's get this thing started. It's time for our weekend review. Boom! Yeah, there it is. See how that synced up so perfectly? I'll tell you what, her and I, right on the same page. It's page 22 of a different book, but same page. Anywho, let's talk about it. Corey Heim won a rain-shortened truck race. Look, Mother Nature had its way here. It was a little soggy in Martinsville. I'm sure the buns were wet of the famous Martinsville hot dogs, but good for Corey Heim getting the win. Any thoughts on that? We saw the rain tires. I thought that was a little played up by folks when it shouldn't have been, because they were running those rain tires on a pretty dry track at one point. We're acting like, boy, this is something to see. What were your thoughts, Mr. Best?
Yeah, I feel like that was the longest truck race I've ever seen in my life. And as I was watching the broadcast or pieces of it, when we finally went green and, you know, Jamie Little said, we're watching history as, you know, we're finally seeing rain tires on an oval event. It just felt like Fox is patting themselves on the back, because if teams had the choice, I think they would have started on the dry slicks compared to the intermediate wet tires that they brought to Martinsville. If you're going to run wet tires, run them. You don't dry the track, or we could have waited about, I don't know, 30 more minutes and then we could have got an actual dry racetrack and we could have gone on it and race more. But certainly left wanting more out of this truck series race than I've seen in a long time. Usually the truck series on a triple header weekend with the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series usually puts on the more exciting show with the wrecks and the spectacular maybe finishes or closer finishes than we usually see in the Xfinity or Cup Series. But this was, out of all the events the Truck Series have run so far, this has been the most underwhelming of them all. So I was very disappointed, and that sort of led into the rest of another kind of disappointing weekend in Martinsville.
I have to agree with you. We're going to get more into that in just a moment. Ryan, we want to get to your comment. Boy, was that truck race a mess or what? Yes, it was, Mr. Hill. I don't agree with you usually on how to spell cat if you spot us a C in the A. But I have to agree with him. That truck race was kind of, in a word, yucky. In a word, I know that's really a big boy word that I'm using there with the term yucky. We'll get a nice Loganity T-shirt with the term yucky on it. I'm sure Peyton will wear five different ones. But yeah, good for Corey Heim. Look, a win is a win, any way you slice it. I don't like taking away the idea of a win just because rain. People like to go, well, it was rain, it was this, it was that. So what I heard was they won. We've agreed more than I like lately, especially here on Wednesday nights. You just give that time, Mr. Hill. You just give that time. Time, patience, and if you could send me some money, I'd appreciate it. I really would. Anywho, that's a different matter for a different time. So, Colin, there's other things to chat about. But any final thoughts on the truck race, Corey Heim getting the win before we move it along?
I will say the first win for Tricon Garage, always exciting when a team gets their sort of first win as a rebranded David Gillen racing organization, but certainly the top Toyota team in the truck series. We'll see them in a couple weeks, I think. I think their next event is Kansas, and then they'll be at North Wilkesboro. So hopefully the next two races should be more exciting than this one.
Let's hope so. I have seen some paint dry that was a little bit more fiery than what we saw out of this truck race. All right, John Hunter Nemechek got it done the Xfinity Series. Of course, you know, he's in a precarious position with Joe Gibbs. What I mean by that is Joe Gibbs has got, you know, a bit of an uncertain future, as we touched on, last week. And he gets the W, and hey, look, say what you want about him, but he's finding a way to win and get it done in good equipment. His sponsors had a great moment as he literally tried to burn down Martinsville Speedway, which is really fantastic. It couldn't have gotten any more iconic if he would have, you know, had a hot dog while he was eating there in Victory Lane and burning it down. What you think of John Hunter getting another dub and Boy, he feels like he's on the cusp, maybe, of taking that next step and really being a serious championship contender.
I think he already is one, Logan. And, I mean, he's certainly probably the best driver in the Xfinity Series with the best car. With Joe Gibbs Racing, they certainly are probably one of the best teams in the Xfinity Series, if not the best. But he certainly dominated this last Saturday at Martinsville, led 198 laps of the 250. Joe Gibbs' teammate Sammy Smith finished second. He's certainly coming into his own. I think those two will be a good battle to watch. Who's the guy at JGR right now? He also won Dasher Cash, so he got the $100,000. But I think the bigger story that comes out of this was Sam Mayer gets into with another JGR driver, Ryan Truex, and shows him that he's number one. He's the best driver. By way, he used his middle finger to show that. So certainly some tempers flared Saturday night at the Martinsville Speedway, but I think this honestly was, I think, the best race of the weekend at Martinsville.
I have to agree with you. Darren Jones says, go Bubba. I assume one Bubba Wallace Jr., who heads to arguably his best track this weekend. We'll talk about that shortly. Matter of fact, he might have spoiled a pick somebody had. Who knows? Who knows? We'll talk about it. But Darren, thank you for tuning in. If you would do me one great favor, Darren, if you would give us a like and a share, greatly appreciate it. And please keep those comments going, even if you hate us. That's fine by us. Whatever. If you don't like it, let us know that we are not on our best. So, but thank you, Darren, for watching. Greatly. We greatly appreciate it. All right. Kyle Larson got it done in the Cup Series. Now he's got two wins, both at shorter tracks. This was the man once known as 2 Mile Kyle. Well, as it turns out, I don't know, short track Larson doesn't quite have the same ring. So, but short tracks getting it done, Kyle Larson. And again, Hendrick dominance is the theme early on this year. Yes, there's been a few moments for other teams, but overall, it's been the Hendrick and Friends show as they march closer to 300 victories. What are your thoughts, Mr. Best, on Kyle Larson getting it done again? And again, Hendrick Motorsports, you know, finding a way by hook or crook. And I'm not trying to imply they're cheaters. I'm just saying that they've had some penalty issues this year. Somehow or another, they always find a way to win, it seems, lately. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I still don't think any Hendrick Motorsports car is 100% legal. Therefore, no Cup Series car, I think, is 100% legal because someone's always trying to bend the rules when it comes to Cup Series racing. But if you ain't cheating in racing, you ain't trying.
Yeah, rules are like bolts, baby. Rules are like bolts.
Certainly, SHR was the story early in the race as they dominated Stage 1. The sun came out in Stage 2, and we saw parity. We saw Denny Hamlin up towards the front. We saw this couple of SHR guys up towards the front. And then cloud cover appeared again in Stage 3, and it seemed like the Hendrick cars were the fastest ones on the track on Sunday. It kind of seemed underwhelming to me, to be honest. That's what Richmond felt like. This is what Martinsville felt like. The racing wasn't all exciting, as you had the Grand Prix of Long Beach and the race at Martinsville side by side. I'm not being biased, but I got to tell you, the IndyCar race was much more exciting than this one. But you know, I think this goes on to the next gen car. It's a topic of discussion that has kind of seemed to erupt the past 3 days about the changes in the future and stuff like that. Hopefully, we see them in 2024. It looks like that'll be the earliest we see them. But to be honest, I have no high hopes when it comes to NASCAR and making those changes. Certainly good for Kyle Larson, as he, I think, is now extending his point series lead over Ross Chastain. But my thoughts, this was just a C+, B- kind of race at Martinsville.
Oh, you give it a higher grade than me. I think they have absolutely laid an egg when it comes to the short track package and Martinsville. Martinsville is such an iconic track, and you couldn't pass, and maybe I'm a little too obsessed with nostalgia, but it feels like, boy, it used to be better. It used to be better. Maybe that's just some rose-colored glasses, some recency bias. Ryan says, this new car/package has ruined my favorite track, and it pains me. On one hand, Ryan, paying for you is not bad for me. On the other, I too like Martinsville. Let's bring in Adam Carabine, whether he's ready or not, because I'm the talent and I can. Adam, what do you think of the short track package? What have they done to my beloved Martinsville? Don't tell me you like it, because if you like it, we got to take you right off.
I wouldn't say I like it. You know, it's it leaves a little to be desired. I'll say that. Our friend here, Darren.
We appreciate it, Darren. Thank you so much. Go check out that page, please. NASCAR Past and Present. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Again, if you would follow our page, we'd greatly appreciate that. Hope you are well. Please give me your comments on the Martinsville situation with this short track. We'd love to hear what you think. But go ahead, Adam. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Yeah, I'm still kind of wrapping my brain around it, to be honest. It's you know, there's way less passing. There was like, when do you ever hear of the entire first stage going caution free? And it's not that I'm in it for the cautions, but it just kind of showcases a lack of excitement really going on. I don't know. Yeah, they've been talking about whether they need to add some more horsepower. I mean, I know two years ago, were they running 750 horsepower there and at the short tracks in general? And I don't know if that was all that much better, but it feels like this is a step in the wrong direction.
Yeah, you know, to be fair, it was a mixed bag from the drivers. You know, Martin Trucks Jr. said he thought it was better. Denny Hamlin was adamant that it was left a lot to be desired. Let's just put it that way. But others but it ran the gamut as far as reactions from drivers go. Colin, what do you make of that? The fact that we had such varied reactions from such prominent names in the sport?
I guess it all depends on how your race went. Like Denny Hamlin at one point was leading this race. He certainly looked like a guy who, you know, he always contends for wins at Martinsville. He's certainly a favorite every time we go there because he's sort of the guy. He's the active win leader at the track right now. I'm in the opinion of maybe I'm a Hamlin fan, so I guess I'm a little biased, but I do think he's right. The fact is there's no power. I mean, back in the day, if you played the old NASCAR games, you could not even go wide open down the straights at Martinsville. You just spin the tires all the way down. You just lose power, lose traction, lose everything. You lose spots. Now you can, and the tires don't fall off. There was really no fall off for like a full tire run that we saw. Certainly this creates problems where if you're still running, like Ross Chastain, he only took right sides and he led. He was at he led until Kevin Harvick overtook him and he took the lead. But that was a 40 lap exchange between Ross Chastain taking two right sides and him taking the lead. That's a problem. What Denny Hamlin said about removing contact patches, if you put grooves inside, F1 did that in the early 2000s, and it led to a really good race, although they didn't do tire changes in some of those races. You had to run the full set through 50, 60 laps. That's a pretty difficult feat, especially nowadays. But I feel like if you remove the contact patch from tires and just increase power, it would certainly help the racing of Martinsville. You don't need downforce. So you can technically take the front bumper off. You can take the rear spoiler off, and you can just run at Martinsville. Modifieds do it. Super late models don't really have that much down. They have a lot of downforce, but at Martinsville, you don't really need that because you're going like 80 miles an hour in the corner. There's certainly a lot of fixes that can be done, but we're going to get this in October when we go back to Martinsville. And it's going to be a lackluster event just like this one. It's very unfortunate that, again, one of the best tracks for NASCAR, the one we always look forward to, it's kind of fallen by the wayside.
Yeah, disappointing to say the least. And not trying to dog on NASCAR here. In recent memory, Martinsville's not living up to kind of that legendary status. Adam, if you were running NASCAR, and then we'll move it along, but if you were running NASCAR, what would you do to kind of fix where we're at with Martinsville if you presume there's a big enough problem to try and fix it? And I think we all three agree that there is.
Yeah. I do remember last year, the spring Martinsville race was, I think, even more of a snoozer than this one was. And I'm trying to rack my brain. I'm not quite remembering, but I do know that NASCAR changed some stuff in kind of preparation for the fall Martinsville race, which also happens to be the cutoff race before the Championship Four. So, you know, a little bit higher stakes for that race, but I do remember them changing something in the package. And so I do have faith that NASCAR will do something, or at least try something. I don't know if they're going to be able to fix it, but I think they recognize when the fans are unhappy with the race. And I don't know, in the past I've seen them try stuff. I think you have to try stuff in order to find out what will work. And I guess this swing has not worked out, but I think, you know, it's not a complete swing and a miss, because I think they'll find something else to do. So sure. I agree though. I think higher horsepower, I mean, you can't go wrong there. Give it a try and see, especially at Martinsville, because you're not getting up to crazy high speeds, you know? So it's not, I know they kind of shy away from higher horsepower for a safety reason, but I don't think you're going to be getting too fast at Martinsville anyways. So that would be my thing to just try. And I don't know, that's coming from a guy who doesn't really know cars all that well. So who knows?
Look, I love your optimism, Adam. That's why we love you. We love your optimism. You're the kind of guy that, you know, you'd walk through hell with a squirt gun. So, I mean, we appreciate your optimism. And we hope that Martinsville has got better days ahead. With that, we'll take you away and let's talk about Long Beach, because someone got their first career victory. Let's talk about it, my friend. Kyle Kirkwood rolls right off the tongue, gets first career victory at Long Beach. Tell us all about it, my friend. You are the senior open wheel guru. You have the floor.
Yeah, so Kyle Kirkwood finally had his coming out party in his second full-time year in the NTT IndyCar Series. He gets his first win at the Grand Prix of Long Beach. He led from the pole, led 53 of the 85 laps that contested that race, certainly in a dominating fashion. He did lose the lead to Joseph Newgarden in the middle part of the race, but certainly overtook him on the overcut. And then eventually it came down between a battle between him and Romain Grosjean, which was certainly interesting in the last couple acts, as Romain Grosjean had about 128 seconds left of his push to pass. He kind of saved it the entire race. It was a 1.8 second gap, I think, with five to go, and he brought that down to 9/10. But unfortunately, that wasn't enough for Romain to get his first win in the IndyCar Series. But Kyle Kirkwood lit it up through the Road to IndyCar Series ladder. This is what we all expected him to be. He was the sort of the next big thing in the IndyCar Series. He took 1 year at AJ Foyt. Now he's with Andretti. Andretti did get the 1-2 with Romain Grosjean coming in second, their teammates. Kyle Kirkwood also vaulted about 15 spots in the championship standings. He's now in the top five. He's certainly in the championship contender stage. IndyCar gets a week off this week, but IndyCar action will be on track tomorrow and Friday, as we have first of two IndyCar Indy 500 tests. We have the rookie orientation program on Thursday, along with full testing on Thursday as well. And on Friday will be a 3-hour session for the Indy 500 as well. So we'll get cars on the big oval as we're quickly approaching the month of May. But IndyCar will be off racing this week, but we'll return for the Grand Prix of Alabama at Barber Motorsports Park. Certainly a fan favorite race. If you can still get tickets as low as $15, NASCAR can't do that, but IndyCar certainly can. Overall, fantastic week in Long Beach. It was, I think, the biggest crowd the Long Beach Grand Prix had in a very long time. Certainly, IndyCar is healthy and alive. Just the racing product on track is just purely amazing. It was better than the snoozer at Martinsville by far. But so far, IndyCar is 3-for-3. We went to St. Pete, had an amazing race. Went to Texas, had an amazing race there as well. And now Long Beach, we've had another good race there. So the momentum is quickly building as we approach another running of the Indianapolis 500 in late May. Really excited. This time for me, it's kind of like our Daytona 500 for you, Logan, and Adam, and certainly everyone else on the Racing Refresh team. But for me, this is the part of the year that makes me really excited. You're on mute there, buddy. We're live.
We are live. But I know you'll keep us up to date, not only on this show every week, but on racingrefresh.com. And even a NASCAR guy like myself can appreciate the spectacle that is the month of May for IndyCar, and of course, specifically the Indy 500 on that greatest day in motorsports. There is nothing quite like it. Looking forward to reading all your review and getting your breakdown here every week, every Wednesday. We'll talk a little bit about those test sessions next week, I'm sure. And always looking forward to your great content on racingrefresh.com. Cannot wait to see your full breakdown, because no one gets more in-depth and in the weeds than you, my friend. All right, let's keep moving along. Let's bring Adam Carabine back in, because we are a cavalcade, a smorgasbord of motorsports breakdowns. And now let's talk a little bit about NHRA. I know a certain founder of this thing that's now near and dear to his heart. And for us NASCAR folks, Tony Stewart had a good weekend. Talk to me, Adam.
Yeah, NASCAR fans might have seen a familiar face this weekend. I mean, they've been seeing it a few times now in NHRA, but Tony Stewart has kind of dipped his toe in as a driver and in the top alcohol dragster category, which doesn't travel around as much as like the four main series, but still a win is a win. And Tony Stewart earned his first NHRA event win this past weekend in Las Vegas. The other winners that were of note, we had Dallas Glenn win in the Pro Stock. Antron Brown won the Top Fuel. And Tony Stewart Racing's Matt Hagen won in the Funny Car. So it was a good weekend for Tony Stewart. We're actually going to have a little sneak peek, or I guess not a sneak peek, but a little recap from that next week from our own Crystal Clay, who was there this past weekend, but she didn't have quite enough time to get her video together for today, but she did send us this photo, which I'm going to throw up here. She took that. There's Tony Stewart and Matt Hagen celebrating their wins this week. So pretty cool. Well done. And, you know, we're always secretly rooting for John Force Racing, but, It was a good week for Tony Stewart. So
well, it was a secret until you just said that. Now we're completely out and look biased, and that's just. We're looking forward to Crystal's video next week and getting kind of that different feel that she provides being there. Enjoyed her coverage on social media. Looking forward to seeing a more in depth version of that next week right here on Racing Refresh Happy Hour. Okie dokie, let's keep moving it right along. Fast and Furious, and I don't mean the movie series that needs to end. Let's go with our Happy Hour headlines. Look, I ain't got nothing against Vin Diesel or anybody else. It's just, how many can we do? All right, another show for another time. Austin Dillon's car went to R&D, and he had a penalty for underwing assembly, 60 points, and 5 playoff points. Let's bring Adam back in here to break that down as the founder of No Stupid Questions, and hopefully No Stupid Questions here and No Stupid Answers. We'll see. Talk about that penalty. How does that change things for the point standings? What'd you learn about this, Mr. Caroline?
Yeah, so actually, to be honest, this might impact a future segment of No Stupid Questions, because honestly, I'm not entirely sure what Austin Dillon's team did to that car as far as underwing assembly. We got Colin here raising his hand.
I'll answer, because if you know, we can go back in the Racing Heritage Archives. I talked about this. I talked about next-gen aerodynamics. I talked exactly about this. The underwing is the underside of the car, where the diffuser leads into. There was some modification for that. For some reason at Martinsville, he wanted more downforce, which I don't understand why, but you know, he did. So he got an L1 penalty. He got docks and points. And I think his crew chief got suspended for 2 weeks. So that will be Talladega, Dover. So we'll see him back at Kansas. But certainly that's a big penalty. I think they're going to try to appeal that penalty sometime soon. I don't think they're going to win that at all. But you can just say, the part that we got sent was just a little wrong for the manufacturer. I mean, you can just say that. I mean, that's what happened to Hendrick, and they let Hendrick go, so they might let Richard Childress go as well, so who knows?
Look, two words, folks, plausible deniability. Ain't nothing quite like it. Plausible deniability.
I will say I don't know a whole lot about underwing assembly, and I probably won't ever fully understand it, but I can tell you that Austin Dillon now with this penalty has dropped down to 29th in the standings. He wasn't in a playoff position before this penalty, but this has made his climb into the playoffs a little harder if this 60 points does stay.
Well, if it does, we look forward to our latest Racing Refresh series. Adam Carabine, Racing Refresh's Underwing Assembly Investigator. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
We're gonna like a secret agent man sort of feel. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be big time. You know, a little Peter Gunn action almost. We could get that theme song going.
You know how like local news does like, you know, investigations on like local businesses. Yeah.
On your side. Yeah, there it is. Adam
Carabine. Getting to the bottom of it.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that. If the penalty sticks, I guess Adam's not. I just volunteered him. Colleagues' points penalty was overturned at NASCAR's request. They took this to essentially the Supreme Court of NASCAR is the best way I know how to put it. And to their credit, they stayed consistent. Colin Best, break it down for me DX style one time. They stayed consistent. No favoritism was shown. What are your thoughts on the call? I personally love it.
So I do agree with it. You mean you gave Hendrick Motorsports the same penalty and they give them the same appeal process. It was the same part affected from the Hendrick cars to this one Colin car for some reason. And they, in Hendrick's case, they took both louvers, but in Colin's case, they only took one. Certainly, I think this is NASCAR saying that we don't play favorites around here publicly, but privately, I think they do. Certainly, I think this is a good for Colleg. If I've never really understood the Colleg thing, because Colleg shares cars with RCR, they're kind of like on the same premises, the same location in Welcome, North Carolina. So I just don't know why the other Colleg car and the two RCR cars weren't affected in some way, but. You know, that's the conversation for another day. Certainly good on NASCAR to appeal this, but the only loser in the appeals process was Denny Hamlin himself. So, you know, I guess NASCAR, you know, I think they do play favorites, especially when things are actions detrimental against stock car racing like Denny Hamlin is.
Look, good promotion for a podcast can be detrimental to a career. We have seen that plenty of times in pop culture. So with that, let's go ahead and look, it's time already. It is time for another edition, except a little different edition of Pit Road Picks. And let's bring in the best looking member of the team. Let's bring in the person that tolerates me the most, because she's a part of this game as well. Let's bring in producer Peggy. Come on in, Peggy. Come on in. The water's fine. Oh, you just look gorgeous. My goodness. I'll tell you. Looking forward to when 1 hour hits.
All right. Keep it. It's a family show here, Logan. Family show.
She's just glowing. I'll tell you. Of course, every time you see this face, you're going to glow. Look at that.
All right. Well, before this gets too out of control here, I'm going to explain a little bit what's going on with this week's Pit Road Picks. Normally, we make picks kind of about the upcoming race, but I figured it was a good time to reflect on the NASCAR season so far. We just hit the quarter mark, 9 races in out of 36. And I thought it might be interesting to kind of take a focus on the teams of NASCAR instead of just the drivers. So I've written a few questions here, and we're not necessarily, these aren't predictions necessarily, but they're just some discussion topics. So I thought we'd start with Trackhouse. It's kind of a two-part question. Are they underperforming this year? And if so, do they turn it around? I don't know who wants to go first, but
I'll go first.
Take it, Colin.
So if you don't count the chase standings at all, the playoff standings, another dollar in the jar for me. Ross Chastain is currently second in the championship standings right now. He was at one point the leader with the Hendrick penalty. He assumed the lead. He's been running consistent. And Daniel Suarez has sort of been on again, off again each single week. But I do think the Trackhouse team is currently the third best you can argue the second best Chevrolet team right now in NASCAR. I think you can put them ahead of RCR. Certainly, it is still early in the season. It is the quarter season carnival, I will say. If you that's an inside joke for me. Put that in the group chat so everyone can see that. But you know, it's a little too early to make full predictions after the quarter season. But I will say, you know, there's a lot of time for them to make up ground, especially with Daniel Suarez. You know, I think he needs to get a rhythm. But certainly both of them have been locked for future contracts up until, I think, 2026. Certainly Trackhouse is going in the right direction as an entire team, and certainly probably one of the best teams in NASCAR as a whole. I have no worries about Trackhouse right now. They get an A for sure in 2023.
How about you there, Logan?
Look, I think for sure they're doing okay. You got to remember, the next-gen car was brand new, and everyone was kind of behind the eight ball. I mean, we even had supply chain issues for this portion of the year last year. So I don't think it's a matter of they're dropping the ball or struggling. I think they look like they might be struggling a little bit because guys like Hendrick are doing so incredibly well. And so, if they're doing better than ever, that's going to take the slack from other teams. That's just the way it's going to go. And so Hendrick and Penske, and to a lesser extent Gibbs, are doing pretty well. So the smaller quote-unquote teams are going to lose out a little bit. Trackhouse is fine. I don't even know if there's anything to turn around. I still think you see them in victory lane multiple times this season.
How about our producer, Peggy? Does she have something to add there about Trackhouse this year?
I don't have much to add. I think they're doing okay.
Fair enough, yeah. I think the reason I even put this question in here is, I guess, when I think about Trackhouse in 2022, they were just making headlines left, right, and center, and I think partially because no one really expected them to come out of the gate as strong as they did. You know, Ross Chastain had a great year last year. We had the Hail Melon. We had Daniel Suarez's first career win at Sonoma. And this year, you know, they're winless so far. Again, it's only 9 races in, so it's still early. But and I don't necessarily believe that they're going to stay winless all year. But it just feels like they're a little more under the radar. And I wondered, you know, what do you guys think of that? So that's my 2 cents. Yeah,
that's because HMS has got a bigger radar.
We have someone tuning in here from.
Yeah, quote unquote, you're not. Hey, quote unquote, smaller. That's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, next up, we're going to look at Spire Motorsports, which is kind of they're a bit of an anomaly right now too. Are they overperforming? I suppose this mostly refers to Corey LaJoie. LaJoie is having a career year, but are they for real? What's going on with Spire?
I'll go first. Stack in pennies turns into stack in dollars for Corey LaJoie. This is for real. I think Spire is getting better. Steve Letarte is running that team. I think he's the director of competition for Spire, if I'm not mistaken. He certainly knows how to put together a winning team. He did that with Dale Jr.'s final years with his career resurgence. Corey LaJoie has been running better. He was a favorite at Atlanta. He certainly is going to be somewhat of a contender for Talladega this weekend. Hint, hint. Maybe that could be a pick. Maybe that might not be. But certainly he is performing better. This is a team that's going to continue to get better. I think the funding is there. Certainly they have technical alliances with, I believe, RCR, I believe. So certainly the ECR engine shop is delivering on their promise to deliver good engines. Bearing the Earnhardt name. This is for real. I'm on the Corey LaJoie train. Will he probably win a race this year? Probably not. But will he for sure make a name of himself and possibly get a better ride in the future? Absolutely. I think he will. So far, Aspire has certainly been one of the shining stars so far in the quarter season.
Mr. Loganity.
I'm going to disagree with the best man. Pump those brakes, buddy, and pump them now. Talladega notwithstanding, because Corey LaJoie is one hell of a super speedway racer. But after Talladega, I expect the results to unfortunately take a steep decline. And I'll tell you why. It's not a knock towards Coil of Joy or Ty Dillon or anyone else for that matter. But again, familiarity, you know how they say it breeds contempt? Well, in NASCAR, it breeds more familiarity, a.k.a. more funding, more money. Is Joe Gibbs going to struggle like this all year long? Not that they're struggling, but they're a little out of the picture compared to normal, right? If I'm right about Trackhouse being better, and I think that I am, there's not much I've ever said I've disagreed with. If I'm right about that, therefore, again, it's got to take up the lane of somebody else. Therefore, guys like LaJoy will have to kind of come back to earth a little bit. You know, how often do we see at the start of a year in traditional stick and ball sports, a person will start out a baseball season or football season like gangbusters, and then by the middle of the year, all of a sudden they have taken the slow descent down to earth. And I'm not trying to knock Coil of Joy by any stretch of the imagination. It's been a good run, but the longer this gets in the tooth as far as the year goes, bad news for him because, again, familiarity in NASCAR breeds familiarity. And just ask what we're seeing with HMS.
Producer Peggy.
I think I agree with Logan.
This is why he keeps you around, is it?
Look, you got out.
You guys might be perfect for each other.
When you get outgunned, you get outgunned.
Fair enough. For me, I don't know. It's hard to read. I'm on the fence about Coil of Joy. I'm just having a look here at some of his finishes. Like, he finished 11th at COTA. That's pretty, you know, we expect that he does well at the kind of super speedway style races. So he's got a fourth place at Atlanta, 15th at Daytona. But yeah, you know, 11th at COTA is pretty good. I guess his last two races, he's got a 30th and a 26th. So maybe it is already starting to trend back towards the baseline. But
and don't get too fired up about COTA. Did you see that race? It was what we call a cluster, nougaty style. You get what I'm saying?
I know, but I don't know. We'll move on. I'm on the fence. I don't have a strong opinion either way. I can't decide. So we're going to jump ahead to one of the kind of more premier teams, I guess, they used to be at least, Stuart Haas Racing. Where do they stand? What's going on with them? What does the future look like? I know, Logan, you previously mentioned that you think Stuart Haas is going to disband in the next few years. But yeah, it's just it hasn't been going well. Colin, kick us off. What do you got?
I don't think Stuart Haas Racing is going to disband at all. I think there's sort of an identity crisis, especially as we get later and later into the season, as their front running guy Kevin Harvick will be leaving. Well, maybe we don't know if they get 1,000 horsepower in 2025, he'll come on 2024. He'll come on back, and I'll be happy about it as well. But certainly I think Ryan Preece really, you know, we saw a flash of greatness. He's a big short track guy. He's a good racer. Chase Briscoe has sort of been up and down the entire year. And Eric Almirola is sort of in his swan song year after year. We don't know. But certainly this is a team that's still trying to find its footing in the next gen era. They only had three wins last year. This is a team that we expect to be contending for championships, not just single-digit wins in a season. Certainly, Kevin Harvick, certainly in the top 10 points so far this year. He's probably been one of the most consistent drivers. I'd say they're in the middle of the pack. There's certainly room to grow, but I wouldn't be surprised if they get two drivers in the playoffs come September and October.
All right, Logan, hit us with it.
Again, I'd say pump those brakes on all that good fortune for SHR. Here's the truth of it, folks. Look, does Chase Briscoe got an opportunity to be a star? Absolutely. One would argue he already is. I mean, a couple more broken fingers and he's going to run off seven championships. But look, here's the deal. The reality is this. Tony Stewart has got his fingers in a whole lot of other pots. All right, he's got his fingers everywhere as far as, you know, he's doing drag on the whole nine. It just feels like he's getting pulled in 40 different directions and something's got to slip through the cracks. And Kevin Harvick is leaving at the end of the year. Eric Almirola might be leaving at the end of the year. And the free agent class, unless somebody gets bought out of contracts, doesn't look like, you know, gangbusters. It, you know, there's no one right now, unless we see a shocking Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch type, you know, fallout with JGR. There's no one that you go, boy, that could really put a shot in the arm of SHR. I'm not saying that they couldn't get a decent driver, but I'm talking about one to make them one of the prominent organizations again. Right now, in my view, their trajectory is kind of how far will they fall? I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I mean, you might be looking at the next Roush Fenway situation where I'm not saying they won't be around, but I think things are going to change. And even if they don't change ownership wise, like I think they might, because again, it just feels like Tony Stewart's passion is in other places. I don't have any inside info on that, but even if it doesn't, do you look at anything and say, yeah, that they're really going to turn it around in those organizations? Something is off there and has been for a while. You know, one season was one thing, two was another. We're on the third straight year of some questionable Kevin Harvick and friend show here. I'm just wondering, have we jumped the shark?
It's a valid question. I'm not sure. Producer Peggy, what do you got for us on SHR?
I think they also probably won't be a team soon.
She's siding with Mr. Loganity, which is always dangerous, but we'll let it go. I don't know. It is concerning. I think if you're in like the head office in maybe one of the lower ranks of SHR, I think it's a worrying time. You know, with Kevin Harvick leaving, and I know, Colin, you said if we bring 1,000 horsepower back, he'll be back next week, but he's already announced he's going to be in the booth for Fox next year. I don't know if he's going to be able to go back on that. And he does kind of seem like he's done. You know, I think he's had a good run, and I think he's ready to hang him up. Eric Almirola, I mean, yeah, he could be back another year, but he's not doing a whole lot. No disrespect to him either. I mean, he had a good run at Martinsville this past weekend, but that's kind of the first time we've seen him on TV this season, really. Seen him talked about at all.
The big pivotal moment right now with SHR is, unfortunately, at this moment, he could be a late bloomer and it might be all right. But at this moment, Cole Custer, kind of a swing and a miss. Now, if he has another bang-up season, and so far he hasn't, but he did have a good run at Martinsville this weekend. If he gets it together, then Stuart Haas looks a lot better. But the fact that Cole Custer so far has not worked out as far as kind of your next big prospect has changed the entire outlook of that organization. Think about where we were pre-Cole Custer, when he was first coming in. Now we're sitting here admitting they're not one of the powerhouse teams at the very least, all of us. So yeah, I just, if they don't strike some gold soon, you know, I'm not suggesting they're going under per se, but again, changes might happen.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to say that they're going to fold as a team. I think they'll continue on, and I think it's just going to be a different look for sure. Chase Briscoe is going to be the future of SHR, and you know, good for him. He deserves it. I think he's a solid young driver, but the surrounding cast, I don't know if that means maybe they just go down to a two-car team or something and maybe sell off the charters, make some crazy money from that. But I don't know. Yeah. Hard to say. It'll be interesting to watch unfold. Next up, I know this, I'm saying this is only teams only, but I'm choosing a one driver team here. Wood Brothers. They're essentially run as a fourth Penske car, but what's going on there? Is it all just resting on Harrison Burton? Is it that he's not pulling his weight, or are the Wood Brothers, are they just getting the worst end of the stick when it comes to anything Penske related? I don't know. What's happening there, Colin?
I think it solely lies on the shoulders of Harrison Burton. I believed he was never really ready to move up to the Cup Series. He you need to win consistently in the Xfinity Series for me to deserve that. I think you should move up to the Cup Series. And he didn't really do that, especially the last season he was in the Xfinity Series. He wasn't really contending for a championship, and he didn't really win any races that year. I think he won maybe two or three, but it wasn't setting the world on fire in the Xfinity Series like Noah Gragson was, or Ty Gibbs, or even AJ Allmendinger was, because I think that Harrison Burton, he may be on the short list to be fired or released at the end of the year, however you want to put it. And you know, I think there's a lot of young drivers in the Xfinity Series who probably deserve a shot. I think Chandler Smith comes to mind as a guy who is Cup ready. I think I think there's less gap to go from the Truck Series to the Cup Series as the Xfinity Series to the Cup Series, because I feel like they're just completely different than anything else except the Trucks and the Cup. They run the same drag package, and pretty much their lap times are equal, which is very sad. But certainly, this has been a rough couple years for Wood Brothers. Matt DiBenedetto didn't work out. Ryan Blaney, he did get a couple wins for the Wood Brothers, but, I mean, he certainly wasn't lighting the world on fire. And now you have Harrison Burton, who I guess has been mediocre at best, really, in his entire Cup career. I don't know where Wood Brothers would go from this, but I think Harrison Burton will be one of the names being axed at the end of 2023.
Mr. Logan.
Look, it's kind of frustrating to see where Wood Brothers is right now. Wood Brothers is one of those teams that if they do well, it's good for the sport. I mean, they're the only family business left in NASCAR. I mean, it truly is a family business. And so to see that iconic 21 car struggling so mightily, and that iconic name and the iconic family struggling so mightily, is disappointing, to say the least. I agree with Colin on this. I think Harrison Burton, I don't think any decision's been made today, but right now he looks to be on the chopping block. Frankly, say what you want about Matty D and some of the comments that he made as his tenure was coming to an end at the Wood Brothers, but it turns out it was a big swing and a miss to get rid of him, because the drop off in performance has been pretty astounding between Harrison Burton and Matty D. Matty D was coming up short for wins several times. Harrison Burton ain't sniffed a win. I mean, he's not in the same zip code as a win right now. And I'm not trying to disrespect Harrison Burton, but we got to call it how we see it. Matty D, I understand they wanted to take the next step and be a championship contender again. And unfortunately, as it stands right now, maybe Harrison flips a switch, figures something out, who knows. But as it stands right now, instead of taking that next step and getting that elusive 100th win, getting rid of Matty D feels like it set them backwards instead of forwards.
Producer Peggy, is it Harrison Burton's fault? What do we think?
I agree with Logan and Colin.
There you go. Good work, Colin. You got
it. Yeah, finally.
I love these things, and I know they're sometimes ridiculous, but I like looking at trends, and I know it's just the quarter season mark and a lot can change, but I'm just looking. I feel like Harrison Burton last year had a disappointing season as far as points go. And right now, if Harrison Burton continues at the rate he's going, he's on track to finish 124 less points than last year. And that's just not good enough. I felt like last year Harrison Burton might have been a contender to not come back in that number 21 car. And he's certainly not showing that he deserves to stick around. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, because he's a nice kid, but maybe it might be time to go back to the Xfinity Series and kind of hone some skills. So
yeah, there's no shame in that. We've seen it with John Hunter. We've seen it now with Cole Custer. It's not to say that Harrison Burton's time is over. Maybe it just wasn't the right fit at the right time. So we'll see what happens there.
Agreed. I know we're running short on time. Speaking of which, I'm going to kind of combine these next two here. We'll turn it into a little two-parter. I was thinking about Kyle Busch having joined RCR and then Tyler Reddick joining 2311. What sort of, you know, has there been a Kyle Busch effect at RCR? Have we seen that yet? And has there been a Tyler Reddick effect at 2311? Colin, take it away.
If a Kyle Busch effect, meaning that Austin Dillon runs better, and Austin Dillon has certainly not been running better. I mean, the Bristol Dirt Race has been the exception. Daytona 500 was certainly an exception to this rule, but everywhere else, Austin Dillon has been, at best, mediocre. He's certainly the dullest crayon in the box when it comes to the Chevy drivers as a whole. I kind of don't want to say he's only there because, you know, he's the grandson to RC, but he kind of is the only reason he's there is because he's the grandson to RC. Whereas Tyler Reddick, I think, is a massive gain for Toyota. I think certainly when Bubba Wallace has his mind right, I think there's a big mental kind of game that Bubba has to deal with before he can take the next step in his development as a race car driver. But if he gets that squared away, certainly, you know, you're looking at, you know, Bubba's trying to step up his game because Denny is his team owner and he's also on the racetrack too. Tyler Reddick already has a win this year. He's been in contention for two or three so far in 2023. But yeah, I think out of everyone, Tyler Reddick has elevated that 2311 program and the entire Toyota program as a whole. Whereas Kyle Busch certainly, I think, just picked up where Tyler Reddick left off in that number 8 RCR car.
Mr. Logan.
If you would have asked me this question a few weeks ago, I'd have said yes. But lately, it feels like RCR has kind of come down to earth a little bit. And so I'm going to say no. They started out hot, of course, got the win at Auto Club, Kyle Busch did. But lately, it just feels kind of not bad by any stretch, but – It's come down to earth again. That's the term I'll use. As far as Tyler Reddick, what a get for 2311. As at this moment, I don't mean to be controversial here, folks, but at this moment, you can make an argument that Bubba Wallace has underperformed a hair, for given all the funding he has, where Tyler Reddick feels like he is taking the next step and is close to becoming a championship contender for years to come, and as we wait on Bubba to take that potential next step of his development. So not much that Colin said that I really disagree with. Again, if you'd asked me a couple weeks ago about RCR, I'd have said yes. But lately, it feels, again, not a major downward trend, but again, coming back down to earth. That's just my thoughts.
Producer Peggy.
I agree with Colin.
Well, she's feeling benevolent.
2 for 4, baby. I'm batting 500.
Benevolent today. Very nice. Very good. Again, I like numbers, so I'm looking at some things here. Tyler Reddick in the 8 car in 2022 averaged 23 points per race. And currently, Kyle Busch in that 8 car is averaging 28 points per race. So there is an effect there. It's certainly a step up. Now, that's certainly early trends, of course, and Kyle Busch has a win this year, so that helps. But then also, Tyler Reddick is averaging 29 points a race this year in the 45, and so he's got a win too. And he's definitely a bright spot on that 2311 team. So, and that's, again, not to take away from Bubba Wallace, but, Tyler Reddick comes in and kind of shows he belongs right away with a win early on in the season. So very good. Thanks everyone. We'll wrap that up there as far as pit road picks for this episode. And I know we're running short on time, so why don't we breeze through our weekend preview here? There isn't a, oh, should we? Yeah, there we go. I'm taking over the hosting duties here. Logan, take it away.
Well, I'm a pretty lackluster host anyway. No, that's not true. I'm pretty good at it. I'm trying to get a little better. So let's do it. Let's talk about it. Weekend preview. Look, the NASCAR fellas are at, she's like Frankenstein, is she? Talladega. We what can you say about Talladega? Biggest super speedway that. I mean, Big Bill France ever thought of. I'd love to know what he was sipping on that night when he drew this up on a napkin. It's anyone's ball game. Colin, Adam, you guys got anything to add to that?
Ready for the freight train? I'll go. It's going to be the double wide, two wide freight train 500. If anything we saw at Daytona, it's what you're going to see at Talladega. And then the last probably quarter mile is going to be the craziest thing we see all weekend as everyone's vying for position. I guarantee you the Xfinity race is going to be the race of the weekend, as I do not have any faith in the Cups, the next gen aero package at Talladega. But certainly, it's Talladega. It's Redneck Mardi Gras. Everyone's going to be there. I don't know who's in the booth for the Fox event. Does anyone know who's?
Tony Stewart's back.
So Smoke is back. Should be a fun weekend. I think it's just going to be just a snoozer. It's going to be a train fest. And Talladega, baby.
I don't know if I can say anything better than that.
Redneck Mardi Gras. I like that. I like that. Well, we need a t-shirt on that.
I like that.
Look, that's just the way it is. It's time now for your racing refresh picks.
Beautiful.
All right, Adam, update me.
I feel like I've spoken too much already today. I'm sorry, everyone. But I have been waiting for this moment for the entire show because my guy, Martin Truex Jr., you guys laughed at me last week when I picked him. He came out of nowhere, snags a third place finish, and gets me the win. There we go. Yeah.
Calling your humility, I love the most.
Yeah, thank you. You know, well, it's nice when you pick your favorite and he performs for you. So happy about that. We had, let's see here. We had Peyton come in second. She had picked Eric Almirola, which I thought that was a surprising second place finish there for her. Colin, you had Bubba Wallace, who came ninth, and Logan came in last with Ty Gibbs. So, Logan, you're up first. Who are you picking for Talladega?
I'll steal some Peggy Thunder, and I will go with Smithfield. Give me some bacon. Eric Almirola. We know he's very good at super speedway tracks, very capable to get it done at either Daytona or Talladega. Give me Smithfield.
Very nice. Mr. Colin, you are number two here. Where are you going with Talladega this week?
All I know is if this was an IndyCar pick'em, I'd be running away with it. But it's not. It's a NASCAR pick'em. I'm going to go with the man who's the active win leader at Talladega. I'm going to go Brad Keselowski.
Excellent choice. Very good. Interesting. Producer Peyton.
They've not been doing the best lately. Sorry, Logan. But earlier, Logan and I got Popeyes for lunch. And on the bottom of the biscuit bowl written was the number 43. And Logan looked at it and he said, they're going to win this weekend. So I'm going to go with Eric Jones.
Oh, my God. What a beautiful story.
Wow, that is good.
Oh, my God.
Let's go. Oh, I hope she wins. Oh, I hope she wins.
I get last pick. Your
picks are relevant. Quiet down.
I'm gonna go with Riley Herbst is driving the number 15 Rick Ware car this weekend. I
got 15 sometime, don't you?
Exactly, right? I figured Talladega is one of the safer choices there, so I'm going with the 15 of Riley Herbst.
I'm probably waiting on that next Atlanta race. Hoping it has some chaos.
There you have it.
That's been Racing Refresh Picks, and look, every great episode has got to come to an end, unfortunately, so we can make more great episodes. That means it's time for a little bit of closing time. That's right. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay on this particular link. So, any final words, Mr. Adam Carabine?
Oh, thanks. I get to go first. Wow. Yeah. I always have to follow Colin, and he always really brings.
I just wanted to mess with it this week.
I know. Yeah. He always brings the heat, and then I have nothing else to say. So
it's okay. I got a little toy to play with right here. The trunk opens, and then the flaps come out too.
The trunk opens. Great.
Well, I hope you didn't preview. I did hope you didn't just like voodoo preview his Talladega race where he's.
This car has a lot more horsepower. This car is better.
We have to shield the bitterness, Colin. Shield the bitterness.
Yeah. Honestly, I got nothing, but always looking forward to Talladega. I know it's usually a bit of a gong show, but I kind of enjoy it. You know, I think it's fun. So I'm looking forward to it this weekend. And thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week.
I'm going to make Colin wait one more time. Producer Maggie, go ahead and hit us with some final words.
Well, I guess we'll see if the Popeyes Biscuit Bowl predicted the future and if Eric Jones is going to win. But I'm hoping the 12 pulls it through. So I guess we'll find out.
You know, if Eric Jones wins, you're going to have to like go to Popeyes every Wednesday now.
I always say when they get a win, we have to have a celebratory meal. We have to either go out that night or the next night. So, and I'm where money then has I no get object. Yeah. Where money has no object. So if she is correct, and if the Popeyes Bowl is a good predictor, it's like Punxsutawney Phil over here. if that's a good corrector, well, in that case, the tears are going to flow like the rivers of Babylon, people. It's going to be, just so emotional. Anywho, Colin Best, you've been waiting and playing with your toy. And look, we all love playing with our toys by ourselves. But you got to have your final words.
So wedding venue picking is expensive and a tedious process. So I'm going through that right now. But I will say two great things happen. We have cars on track at Indianapolis Motor Speedway starting tomorrow and Friday. It's getting closer to the month of May. And I don't know if you guys heard this, but the guy who runs Motorsports Games stepped down today. There might be future for NASCAR console gaming. It's been almost like 20 years since we've seen a good NASCAR game on a console. It's very unfortunate that I moved to iRacing because NASCAR on the console sucked. I spent $4,000, and whoever makes the new NASCAR game, I want full reimbursement for everything that I had to go through. But that being said, I'm going to just go sit here. I'm going to do my BJ McLeod impression as I leave, and I'm going to play with my little Denny Hamlin car because I have the same colors as the Orioles. It's the orange and the white, and the trunk opens, and the hood actually opens too. And the cool thing is you can take out this little window right here, you know, for the short track package. So, you know, it's been a great show.
Let's not ruin it.
See you guys next week after Talladega. It's gonna be a fun week.
That was daggum beautiful. That was cute as a button the way you're just. But it's been a while since we've had a decent NASCAR game. Matter of fact, the three of us were clean shaven about when we first had one. So with that. We thank you so much for tuning in each and every Wednesday. I'm working on a quarter season review myself, so check that out either this week or next. Not sure yet. It depends on this cocoon of chaos up here. But check it out. Coming soon to racingrefresh.com. Thank you. We will see you at the next track. And, yes, enjoy your redneck Mardi Gras.